next guy. He's a Hall of Famer. He's played in multiple World Cups for the United States. He's taking time out right now from working with some of the Colorado Rapids youth players, and he is the analyst for the Rapids. And 6 years at HDNet. Marcelo Balboa joins us now. Marcelo, how are you?
I'm good. Glenn, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, buddy. I was just wondering, what happened to the HDNet tapes? You know, it's like a famous musician. All those games we called, where are those tapes? Who's got them? What vault are they in? Does Cuban
archived,
have them?
Man.
Who's got them?
They're archived, man. They're archived. They're in a special vault because they were special back then.
I mean, how good was that stuff? Seriously, how good was that run?
Groundbreaking at the
years?
Time, wasn't it?
It was until everybody caught up. I remember when some of the players finally were getting it, and they were just going, this is unbelievable. You know, we can see beads of sweat on people's faces.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, we had fun. We did a lot of games in San Jose. I remember, you know, you and I were talking earlier today when Troy Dyack would come out with the duster on and the cowboy hat, and I thought it was a Clint Eastwood movie at the Spartan Stadium.
Oh, love Troy Dyack.
I
remember him in his first national team game with us. He came out. I think we were playing Russia in Minnesota, I believe it was, and he was barking at their players. And I'm like, what the heck is this kid doing? He was
you mean like
barking.
A dog?
Yes, like a dog.
He's a legend. I'll tell you what, he's a really interesting guy. He's got a huge farm and built soccer fields, has been really heavily involved in youth soccer like yourself. So, yeah, he's one of the great characters of Major League Soccer and a very solid defender as well. All right, so I want to take you right into, Marcelo, as a former U.S. national team member, just how painful and how disappointing, and how do we position this lack of getting to the Olympics here after being eliminated by Honduras at the under-23 level?
Glenn, you know what? Just frustrating, because when you look at that roster, you know, people kept on saying, and after it was done, you keep listening and you were reading a lot of stuff and, oh, we didn't have this, we didn't have that. Listen, to me, that roster was talented enough to get to the Olympics. Bottom line, that's the end of it right there. They didn't need Weston. They didn't need those guys. They could have used them, but they didn't need them to qualify. So that's one. Number two, I think when you look at what happened, it's frustrating. And it's frustrating because you know why? Because we had the coach. The coach was sitting right in our hands. He was right there, and that was Tab Ramos. Tab got this team, the under-20s. He knew the players. He qualified for three consecutive under-20 World Cups. He knows what it takes to qualify in CONCACAF at the youth level. And we moved on from Tab. Tab, fortunate enough, got to Houston. Then we took, and whoever made that decision, I think, has to be held accountable. Because, listen, Jason Christ struggled at NYCFC. Jason Christ struggled at Orlando. And whoever decided that was the choice to take this team through, I mean, the track record itself shows that maybe that wasn't the right choice. And it's easy afterward. But I can tell you this. I've been saying this before the Olympics, that you need a coach who knows and understands what it takes to qualify. And CONCACAF, it's not easy. It's not easy. And I know you're in Mexico, but still, it's not easy because you have to know how to prepare a team for a tournament like that. And I think we looked past the Olympics. I think we looked at, we were playing Honduras, that it was, oh, we should win this, and we'll face Mexico in the next round. And there's the other hiccup we had. One World Cup, we don't qualify. Now a third Olympic, we don't qualify. Not a great time for U.S. soccer on the men's side.
All right, so I want to take you back to Tab and U.S. soccer. I mean, was that because Tab wanted to move on or because U.S. soccer just wasn't wise enough to keep a man that had taken teams into the quarterfinals of the under-20 World Cup? I mean, his knowledge of this base of players is off the charts. And, of course,
exactly.
You know, he's got Omid Namazi. I mean, he's got it rolling. He knows these players.
Listen, that's a great question for Tab. I don't know that question. But I'd have a hard time thinking that if they went to Tab and they offered him the under-23 to help this team get into the Olympics, which we haven't done in a while, I have a hard time believing that Tab would have turned it down. So, but that's a great question for Tab because, again, for me, it's decisions we make. And I think when we get to decisions, we got to stop making decisions and looking at, okay, this is a guy I've known for a long time. He could get the job done. Nah, it's got to be the guy that can get the job done. U.S. soccer and the men's side, has struggled. And now we put ourselves even deeper in a hole, Glenn, and I'll tell you why. Because we didn't qualify for the Olympics. We didn't qualify for the World Cup, the last World Cup. Now we've got two more major tournaments coming up, and that's Nations League, and that's Gold Cup. What happens, and I'll ask you, what happens if U.S. soccer does not win either one of those tournaments? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. You're talking about removal of a coach, which I don't think happens
in
this country.
I'm not saying you have to remove anybody. I'm saying what do you do? Because you're a month and a half away, if that, from a World Cup qualifier, and you can't have a hiccup this time. You cannot have a hiccup in World Cup qualifiers.
I would just go back and say Berhalter and the Federation. Right. Yeah, I would just go back and say it all depends on how the team plays in these tournaments. I mean, I don't think anybody says you have to win them both.
Yep.
But you should be trying to win them both. I don't know. Would you remove a coach if you didn't win both those tournaments?
I think it's too close to qualifying to start making such a big change.
Right.
But that puts a lot of pressure now, especially when you're hearing rumors of two different teams, one for Nations League and one for Gold Cup. So, again, this put a lot more pressure on U.S. soccer and the U.S. national team.
All right, so let me ask you this, Marcelo. Did we make a mistake here? I know you're saying that's a good enough team to qualify, and I hear all the different things that are coming in, and we can grab any bit of – we can focus on anything we want. We can say, we're not on a world schedule, so that's we can talk about the coach. We can talk about the players. But was it a mistake not to pull some of these guys? The guys like Dest, Pulisic, Reyna, Sargent, Robinson, Musa, who all played for the senior national team. Was it a mistake not to pull a few of those guys in? Hey, make sure we qualify. Let's play it totally safe and respectful.
Yeah.
And then we figure out who is our roster that goes then to the Olympic Games.
Yeah, I know throughout the last few Olympics, getting some of the bigger name players has been very difficult to get from their club teams because it's a long time to go through qualifying. I believe it's almost 3 weeks to go away from your club team. So I get that. I do. But, again, this roster was good enough to qualify. They've got quality players. My thing is, teams, and you know this, Glenn, teams take on the personality of the coach. If the coach is laid back, the team's laid back. If the coach is fired up and is a very energetic, very passionate guy, the team plays like that. So I think this team took the personality of the coach, and it was more laid back. It was more relaxed. And again, it's a shame because we put ourselves in another big hole. There's no way that we should not be in the Olympics. This was going to be a preparation leading into qualifiers, getting these players that experience, getting them even more game times at a high level.
No question about it.
Another big pressure.
Pressure situations. Also, it's another opportunity to grow the game in mainstream media because if they go on a good run, a lot of great things can happen. Remember the 2002 team with Donovan and Beasley in the World Cup, what that did for soccer. I want to take you back to something that's weird to me, though. Atlanta United didn't release three players. Now, with the way U.S. soccer and MLS is woven in together, they're in this together. What's strange to me is Carlos Bocanegra, who I'm a big fan of, is the sporting director. And guys like Miles Robinson not available, that was a weird one to me.
I don't know.
I thought it was all for one and one for all.
It should be. We all represent our country. We've all played there. We know the importance of how important this qualifying for the Olympics was. But it's tough to say because I don't know all the details of what happened in Atlanta. Did they not feel he was healthy enough to go? You know what I mean? I don't know the details there. So I would hope that they were protecting the players because there were some sort of injuries. That's why they were not listed and brought in to qualifying.
Yeah. Well, if that's the truth, how come we didn't hear that? Because I haven't really heard that because, you know, that's a distinct possibility. I'm sure there's a lot of things behind the scenes we don't know, but why wouldn't somebody come out and say that unless I missed it?
So that's what I'm saying. I didn't see it, so it's tough to comment on something I don't know about. But usually when a team doesn't release a player, especially an MLS player, it's due to some sort of setback in his progression coming back from an injury or something. So that's what I would think, and that's in the back of my mind what I thought.
Okay, the guys we're talking about are Miles Robinson, George Bello, and Brooks Lennon. Jason Kreis said on Monday he thought the two sides had reached a solution. This was prior to the tournament. During the weekend, but that Atlanta United decided the players weren't going to be available. Person with knowledge of the situation said Atlanta United told the USSF during the weekend the players weren't going to be made available for the qualifying tournament, citing medical concerns regarding COVID protocols ahead of the match.
So, there you go.
Yeah,
there
COVID. So that sounds... Yeah, well, I mean, that's just very strange to me.
No. I respect everybody. Listen, I respect the player's decision. If it was something to do with COVID, totally respect that. So,
yep. Kreis said he respected the club's decision. Not having Robinson was a huge loss. So COVID.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So solutions. And, you know, I know everybody's banging the drum and, you know, it's not a referendum on where we are. So what are some of the solutions? I mean, simply you could say get on the international calendar so that you're not trying to get fit while you're competing and qualifying, despite who the competition is. You mentioned better relationships with clubs around the world and sporting directors, right?
Yep.
Selection process for a coach. Now,
it's tough.
Who picks the coach? Is it Ernie Stewart and Brian McBride? Who picked the coach?
I don't know. I don't know who picked the coach. They never really came out and said it. So I don't know. But again, the solution is you've got basically 2.5 years, 3 years to figure it out now. You've got to figure out what the right coach is, guy that knows CONCACAF, a guy that knows and works with young players and knows the system. Because, again, listen, qualifying. It isn't just going to, like, World Cup qualifiers. It isn't just getting your team ready. It's getting them ready for the environment. It's getting them ready for the hostile environment. It's getting them ready for fields that aren't what they're used to playing on. You know what I mean? It's a lot of different variables that you have to get your team ready for. And I don't think, looking at that team, they did not look ready for that game. They looked very – I mean, they had their chances. Don't get me wrong. They had their chances. But, again, listen, we're all going to make mistakes. This is the beauty of our game. We're going to make mistakes. But to say in a press conference that their mentality wasn't right, doesn't that start with the coach? Doesn't their mentality, their mindset start with the coach of getting them ready for that game? So, listen, everybody's responsible. I'm not saying the players aren't responsible.
We're not here pointing fingers. We're just trying to come up with solutions and dive deeper into this.
Yeah. Listen, I like Jason Kreis. I've known him. I've talked to him a long time. I'm not saying you're this, but I'm saying when you look at characteristics of what you're looking for an Olympic team, you had it right there. For me, it was the easiest decision U.S. soccer could have ever made. Tab under 20s, Amid is assistant coach. They've had a great run with all the teams they've had. Give it to them. Let them take this group that knows what qualifying's about. And they moved in a different direction. And it's a shame. It really is a shame.
Now, you alluded to that you think sometimes in this country it's more about who you know type things and a bit of nepotism. And, of course, that's in everything. I don't think there's any question. That's in business.
Yeah.
That's in life. That's everywhere.
Yep.
But, you know, some of these things are very big mistakes. And why can't this be tied into Major League Soccer's and academies now, this failure?
Yep.
Because all these guys came from, you know, remember this tournament was starting. Hey, RSL, we got 5 guys here, you know, and that's great.
Yep.
No question.
Yep.
No question. But, you know, you just can't have the icing on the cake when there's a failure. Then somebody's accountable.
Well, I agree. I think we've discussed this. It's finding out who made that decision, why that decision was made, and again, what are the repercussions? What are the repercussions? Because, listen, I've heard people say, oh, it's just the Olympics. I'm sorry. It's just the Olympics. Messi played in the Olympics and won a gold medal. Mexico's won a gold medal. Brazil, Germany, they've all been there, and they take it serious. So the Olympics are important, and especially for a country who is bouncing back off a not qualifying for the Russia World Cup every tournament you play in is important. And that's this one turn, another tournament that we missed.
Yeah, this would have been a great momentum grab ahead of the U.S. national team getting into World Cup qualifying.
Right, imagine qualifying for the Olympics, and now you can take an Adams, a Weston McKinney, you can take a Pulisic. Imagine the experience they're getting in a huge tournament like that, getting ready to go into FIFA qualifying and getting into, hopefully, if things go well, into a World Cup for those young kids.
Jello, great stuff. Let me let you get back to coaching. We could have taken this another segment or two. We'll get you back on the show because I do want to talk to you about a couple of things, including Argentine barbecue and also your work with the Rapids in the MLS Academy stuff. So thank you for coming on tonight. We much appreciate it.
You got it, brother.
All right. That's Marcelo Balboa.
Care.